Namaste and welcome back to another episode of The Sapient. Today we have Tanya on the show. It's rather a brief introduction. Welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm really good. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I hope everybody out there is also very well. I'm Tanya and I'm currently based in Germany. I'm a chronic pain mentor and burnout mentor, and also a digital nomad as well, since the pandemic has started in, when was that, 2020? Yes, since 2020, so over 5 years. I just had my anniversary of having left Germany 8 years recently, a couple of days ago. So,
Yeah. I think the whole pandemic was like a, you know, skip forward option for most of the people.
Yes. Right?
Because a lot of people don't realize it's been like 5 years. Right? They're like, yeah, it was just yesterday. You know, like we were in lockdown, trying to get vaccinated and stuff.
I know. Isn't it crazy? Like so much time has already passed. It seems like it happened a year ago or something.
Exactly, exactly. It's like a different timeline, I guess, we are on now.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Okay. So can you help us understand where does your origin story start from, right? So where did you acquire this knowledge, you know, that you're trying to spread?
Yes. Okay. So I would say that my journey really started in 2017, officially the story started, because even when I was in high school, I already had stomach issues. I already had a lot of stress, probably self-made stress. You know, I never got pressured by my parents to have like a certain kind of grade or something. But from society, of course, like there is pressure to have a certain kind of standard, because otherwise you don't move into the next grade. And then it causes that ripple effect of, am I going to be able to go to university? Is that even something I want? So I think for me, my story started pretty young already with migraines, stomach issues, like I said, but officially it started in 2017. When I was quitting a job in Berlin as a middle school teacher, highly overworked, highly underpaid, living off, I think, 1150. So 1150 euros. And that in Germany, that's like a shame. More than 60% was going to rent. I barely had money to like live besides food. I was working 60 week hours. Weekends as well, a lot of time going across the whole freaking city. And I hated my work. I did not like my coworkers. I don't give a damn if they listen to this right now. Everybody was German. That's where the issue starts, probably. I just had gotten back from the US and I had an amazing experience as an au pair. I found my second family there. Things were amazing. I did have gut issues here and there, but when I was in that job, that's when the insomnia started. You know, that fear of, again, being evaluated the next day in lessons. Like I had 30 middle schoolers in there. Most of the parents were either drug addicts, alcohol addicts, and so on. So nobody really taught me, without wanting to play the victim here, how to handle those things, right? It's not something you get taught at university. And it's also not what I signed up for, really. So I think the pressure of having people watch me and evaluate me every week or every 2 weeks in class, and me having to be a person that I didn't want to be, so somebody that is very strict, and I wasn't able to be myself, like even with clothing. Like, you know, when it's summer, I want to wear shorts, and nobody else was doing that. So it clearly wasn't appropriate. So yeah. It was this like battle of having to fit in, but also not wanting to fit in and teaching something that I really also wasn't passionate about. You know, I did not really care about a poem from 1951 or something. No offense. It's not something I would be doing in my free time. And now, like, I do a lot of personal development in my free time. And it's something I truly love. And I really embody what I'm doing and I stand behind what I'm doing. So that's the shift that there was. And I think in Germany, we get taught to do things until the end and never quit. But I'm really proud of myself that I'm a quitter, because I got out after a year and I went to travel the world, and there were more gut issues because, of course, I was a backpacker. I was worried about money. I had saved before because I was really hard working in university and I had always several jobs. And yeah, until I started working as an online German teacher, and I genuinely liked the work. It was just, again, another pattern of being underpaid and having to work with students, new students all the time, because this is how the company was set up.
Yeah.
So I was really overworking, and this is how the chronic symptoms in my back started, in my hip, and like a lot of ripple effect, let's say, which was a blessing.
Got it. So at what, I would say, at what exact moment, or what was that one particular moment where you said, okay, like, this is something that I need to look into and learn about and, you know, see what other people are not seeing, you know, within this issue?
So I was really hitting rock bottom, because I went from one doctor, one chiropractor, 8 or 10 physical therapists to another, and they all couldn't help me, meaning I went to a couple of appointments and I saw no difference. Sometimes I gave it a shot for a whole year even. So it was just throwing the healing spaghettis at the wall, seeing what sticks. And then I was so rock bottom that I was literally laying on my balcony and I was like, you know, fifth floor. And I was like, I'm just gonna throw my, like, let it be over with, kind of thing, you know, like throw myself off, because I was so hopeless. I was so frustrated. I was so scared as well, because I got told I have a structural deficit in my hip. One doctor said I had it. The other one said I didn't. There were so many different things. And when I was at a point where I couldn't move my hands anymore and I had so much pain, I knew there had to be another way. And I was also working on establishing myself as a life coach, which wasn't possible, because if you can't take care of yourself, you can't really help other people either. So one of the business coaches,
unfortunately,
but also fortunately, because it really gave me the focus. And one of the coaches I did a course with, like a mini challenge or something for business, she tried to sell me something, and I was literally like, I need to take care of my health.
If your website only speaks one language, you're probably missing out on traffic, trust, and opportunities. I recently tried out a tool called Tovik on my personal site, ganeshdatta.me, and was genuinely impressed. It lets you turn your site multilingual without all the clunky pop-ups or messy plugins. Tovik automatically detects your visitors' preferred language and serves up your content like it was written just for them. The translations feel natural and not robotic, and that makes a big difference in how people engage. Whether you are running a business, a non-profit, or just sharing your work with the world, Tovik helps you connect globally and make every visitor feel at home from the very first click. And here is the best part. Tovik has a special offer for Sapient listeners. Translate 2,000 words on your site for free. Just visit tovik.app/sapient. That's tovik.app/sapient to get started.
And she said, go to that person. And I helped somebody with their marketing research. And at first I didn't trust. She was doing mind-body healing with like somatic healing and nervous system work, and all based on Peter Levine, which is an amazing teacher, by the way. So I signed up, took the risk, and I was like, you know what? I got nothing to lose. And I literally just signed up so I'm able to manage the chronic symptoms and then help other people. And I always said, if I figure this shit out, I'm going to scream it from the rooftops. And that's what I'm doing.
Yep. Yeah. It is, you know, it's something you said, you know, really made me think about something, right? When healthy people, right, say, okay, you know, like, why is that sick person trying something that doesn't work? Right? Like, they really judge other people for going with alternative routes of medicine or healing. And, you know, because I have heard this so many times when they say, you know, that person went to a priest or whatever. And they're like, why would they do that? It's so nonsensical, right? It doesn't make any sense. But then I'm like, yeah, if we were in their position, we would do that too. Right? Because at that point, it's not about efficacy or it's not about what works. It's about just find me something that works, right?
Exactly.
Like just finding that one thing.
Exactly. And it was never one thing for me either, right? Like that was just opening the doors for me. And I got to maybe 40, 50% better. I did my first overseas trip again to Brazil with my ex-boyfriend back then for the first 4 weeks. And then I went off by myself. I had a breakup. I developed gingivitis here in my gums, which was super painful. And the puzzle pieces didn't come together yet, that everything I was experiencing was because of chronic stress and, you know, suppressed emotions. I needed to hear that information probably 20 times. And then it was sinking in. It was very interesting, but it really opened the door. And then there came another friend came in and she was like, hey, what are you experiencing? Could that be psychosomatic? Like, you know, that big word that everybody's like, oh my God. And I was like curious. And that curiosity was my gift because I found the amazing Nicole Sachs. I found John Zano, which is the pioneer of, you know, mind-body medicine. He's not with us anymore. Mm-hmm. I got into that whole supportive community and I started doing writing therapy, whereas before I was doing mostly nervous system-based work, you know, like slowing down, body-based exercises and things like that, where I had a lot of resistance because I thought if I slow down, nothing is going to work anymore. My business is going to collapse. Spoiler alert, it did not. It still carried me through that whole time. And I found back to living a normal life again. I would say an extraordinary life. And I'm blessed to say that it taught me a lot of lessons.
Nice. So how many years have you been in coaching?
So that's not a straightforward answer here. Because I would say I was already coaching late 2020. I had a friend that was stuck in a teaching position she didn't want to do. That was just when I moved to Spain first. So I coached her out of that. Now I know she's writing her own books and she is a freelance teacher and she's loving life. She's pregnant now as well that I saw. So that was, I would say, one of my first experiences. And then in my German teaching business, which was the first business I started in the pandemic, I was coaching people already as well because, you know, foreigners that come to my country, it's not easy, to say the least. And if they have a boss yelling at them, they need to speak German. Even the job was advertised in English. Like they come to me and start crying and really have a hard time. So that's already when I was using a lot of my coaching gifts. And then I got certified. So I was actually coaching since 2020 and I got certified in early 2022. I already had the first proper clients 2021, but it was more like a confidence passion coaching. I think nobody really understood what I was doing, basically helping mostly women get out of work that they didn't like and start their own business. So one of them started an artist business and went traveling the world with her boyfriend. another one, like I said, started doing language books for kids and lots of other things. But I couldn't fully show up for it because I was so sick myself. So yeah, it's been 5 years, I would say.
So it's been nearly 5 years, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
so
the chronic illness and burnout coaching I've been doing for 2 years now, a good 2.5 years, I would say, because like for me, it was always important that I am at a place where I'm at least at 80-90% better with chronic symptoms before I start helping other people to have the capacity in my nervous system, but also for authenticity, you know, like I can't teach somebody to something to somebody that I'm not fully standing behind and embodying and living.
So do you think confidence was something that you already had when you started coaching, or do you think you got it, you know, as you started working on it?
I always say confidence is something that you can't eat for breakfast. And I definitely wasn't confident. I knew that I had gifts and skills and that I had a very deep desire to help people. And I was doing the best I could, and people always got results. So I saw living proof. But before I didn't see that proof, it was hard, and there wasn't confidence, and there was imposter coming up. And to be honest with you, now that I'm switching gears towards more teaching and coaching entrepreneurs, I do have imposter sometimes still coming up, because I'm like, well, you know, I only had a couple of, like, I don't know, 1,000 entrepreneurs or 6 entrepreneurs that I worked with. And, you know, like there's other topics coming up. But I always believe when you do the best you can with what you have available and you stay in integrity. Yeah. And if I don't know something, I say I don't know it. You know?
Yeah.
It's very
little. I did. Yeah, I did read somewhere that it's a room full of idiots trying to find their moments of brilliance. Right? I think that's what most people do, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're not absolutely the best at it, but right.
I think...
Sorry, you were saying something, yeah.
I think brilliance comes with time and with practice. And also with never stopping to learn. So something that I truly, fully embody is I'm at least in one kind of membership with some kind of mentor, therapist, practitioner. And at the moment also work with somebody one-on-one from Argentina in Spanish. So that's my third language. So for me, it's always about keep learning, keep working on myself. And I have a really wide range of tools. So that is helpful to you, because everybody is very different. And not everybody has an education background like I have as well. Yep. So I think that's helpful, because honestly, I think the universe just brought me all those experiences to bring me here now. Like, it all makes sense if I'm looking back. It's just really interesting.
Yeah. Have you heard of that quote that says life makes sense backwards, but you have to live forwards?
I haven't heard of it, I think, but it's so true.
Yeah, right. And also, you know, talking about your coaching business, right? What do you think is like, I would say, a signal or a characteristic of a person who would want to work with you?
That's a really good question. And I just spoke about this the other day with my friend. I would say it's a six-figure entrepreneur that is very burned out and a type A personality. I'm amazing at chilling people out, like really good. And they really want this. They do put in the work. B minus work, obviously, because like, you know, progress over perfection. Because if we aim for perfectionism, we just never put things out and get it done.
Yep.
And that's the clients I call the easy clients. They're very self-led. And we have a call every 2 weeks and they do the work. And if I'm lucky, I get a reply to email check-in that I do. Sometimes I have to teach them to ask for help as well, right? Like, you're paying me, so use the support I'm offering. And those are the people I love working with most.
That's also kind of something that even I see in coaching is, you know, people are hesitant to ask or, you know, look needy, right? Which doesn't make sense, to be honest, because it's like, well, you're paying us, right?
Exactly. And then there's the other side of the spectrum as well, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's the other side of the spectrum where you have to set boundaries. Like, you know, if somebody has, like, VIP support, for example.
Dependency.
Yeah, full dependency as well, where you're like, you got to bring them into their power again and bring them into, you know, their bodies and trusting their own decisions, because I can't tell anybody what to do. I can give them the tools and I can do offerings, but then they have to realize how it's resonating with them or not. And what I love most is the clients, for example, one client I worked with that is a mother as well. And she told me, and that brought me to tears, that the work had a ripple effect over her whole family. Better relationship with her husband. She's staying calm and collected when the kids have a tantrum. And I mean, I'm coming from an education background. I know how hard that is, even I'm not a mom yet. And I think that's amazing. So it's a lot more than healing chronic pain or overcoming stress or burnout. It literally has a really amazing ripple effect over all the life areas that pure mindset work oftentimes doesn't work. For some it does, for some it doesn't. For me, it never took me all the way or, you know, where I wanted to go.
Got it. So what would you say is your core principle that you've built your whole knowledge base on?
The core principle, trusting yourself, is what comes to mind first. Trusting those nudges, trusting that intuition, trusting the signs that you're seeing that you get from the universe.
Yep.
Like, if you are out there and you're listening to that conversation right now, there's a reason that you got guided to listen to this.
Yeah. That's what I was about to ask. Like, what do you think about, or what exactly is trusting yourself, right? Mm-hmm. Because is it in actions, is it in thought process, or is it in, I would say, just like the acts that we do, right, every day, or the discipline, right? So when you talk about, you know, the kind of self belief that a person needs to have, where do you think that stems from, or where do you think that comes from? Do you think that comes from mindset? Do you think that comes from accomplishments? What do you think is the source of that?
It's a mix. Because self-belief, I did not believe in my healing when I first started that journey. I never thought I would be pain-free. I would be dancing Zumba again. I would be doing all the things I want to do. But I think having somebody that holds space for you and believes in you before you can believe in yourself, that is very powerful, because you regularly get into that frequency and you don't need to believe in yourself yet. That comes with, again, having support, but also taking action steps and then also looking for proof. Where is this already done? Like, who is out there that already has what you want to have? And then who do you need to be and how do you need to act?
Mm-hmm.
So that be, do, have model, right? Because to have full health, what kind of person do you need to be and what do you need to do on a daily basis? Yeah. So it's all connected. It's an identity thing. It's a mindset thing. It's connecting with your body. It's feeling your emotions. Everything is connected, I would say.
Got it. So it's a mix of human traits and, you know, but also thought process, but also actions, right?
For sure. I'm a big believer that you can't think yourself out of a problem. So, you know, if thinking would get people, let's say, rich, right, or wealthy, as in money, then I think every second person would already be wealthy. If just thinking about it would, because I hear this often. But
also, do you think it's because we have different parameters of rich or the definitions of rich?
What do you mean by that?
Like, for some people, little money is being rich, right? For some people, like, it's like infinite money is rich. For some people, it's like physical health is rich, right? So it's like every person has their own parameters of being rich.
Yes, exactly. So that, you know, wealth is something different for everybody out in the world. For me, definitely it's health, but it's also financially. Being in a place where you know that you have a certain income every month, right? Like, that for me is just relaxation, stability. So I agree that health and wealth and, you know, being rich is a completely different thing for one person than it is for another one. That's why it's important to sit down and look at what is it that I really want. Mm-hmm. And what does that look like for me? It's the same with success. For some people, success is, you know, having a corporate career and making 10K a month or something like that. Fair enough. Different for every person. So for some people, it is doing what I love every day. For some people, it's booked out with clients. For some people, it's being able to sleep in and not having millions of appointments every day. That's why it's so crucial to get clear on what it is.
I think the sleeping in is every coach maybe after like 2 years on their business.
I'm sorry?
Like, sleeping in is something that for... It's the stage where almost every coach gets in like 2 years of their, you know, coaching business, where they're like, I don't want any more calls.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they
do. I've been coaching since 2020, and I love my calls.
So how many calls do you have a day?
A day? Usually no more than three.
That's why, you see? That's why.
I do come from like in 2020 when I was teaching German to that online school. I had six video calls a day, five times a week, pretty much. Well, no, that's not true. Five or six a day, and it was, well, girls' math, it was 24 a week, and that's what was leading me to burnout.
Yes, that's exactly what I mean. Like,
yes.
Like, you know, it's like when you take too many calls, you kind of get desensitized to it.
I agree. But like, you know, a couple of days, I still love what I'm doing. And I see also, and that's valid too, I see people having one or two calls a week and they don't want any more. And they have like 1,000 people in the room. I don't know if that is like, I have people that go to those healing programs and then they come back and they come to me and they're like, well, I never got my question answered.
Yeah.
And it was quite cookie cutter. It wasn't as personalized. So that's what I stand for, personalization. And you can't really find that out there that much anymore, because it's a lot of like artificial intelligence. And I find it quite like, not upsetting, but like, I don't like laziness.
But do you think that AI is still in a position where it is still learning, but it might get there one day?
You mean IE is going to get that?
Yeah. So do you think AI is going to get to a stage where it could compete with someone like you?
No.
Mm-hmm.
It can't.
Why do you think so?
I just had a session with my therapist today, and you know, I use ChatGPT. I have one tab open where it says therapist, and I type things in, and it responds to me. Mm-hmm. There's no accountability, first of all. There's no emotional component, like energy, like me and you having a conversation that has an energetic frequency.
Yeah, but have you tried the GPT voice model?
No.
You should.
I think
you'll be blown away.
I'm very old school.
Yeah, no, like, I think you should, because it generally tries to mimic human emotion.
Okay. Interesting.
With you know, annotations and modulation within the words, and you know, it tries to give you an impression as if you're talking to a human.
I would have to try. So I can't judge until I haven't tried.
Yes. Now, I'm just curious because it's like, you know, like a lot of coaches are worried with AI, right? But I feel like AI is going to be the next domain, website, or, you know, the internet, right? It's like, yeah, everybody has it, but can everybody use it?
For sure. Right. Yes. You need
everybody has access to internet.
Yeah, for sure. It's like with everything, right?
Yes. Exactly. So once you, you know, started coaching, right? Have you ever had like a very, like, how do I put it, like, very easy months where people just came in without any effort?
Yes, I have. And it's amazing.
Yeah. And do you think those are the months that make you kind of lazy?
No, not really. Maybe with my marketing, but never in my sessions with my client.
Work. No, exactly. Marketing, like, you know, actually reaching out to people. They're like, meh, you know, like, I'm going to do it tomorrow.
Yeah. My first business as a German teacher, that was mainly built in back then. I think I did a challenge in a Facebook group. I did not work with any marketing mentors, and it was purely based on referrals. And people literally just came into my email address, into my email inbox. And what the blessing is there is that you attract, first of all, you attract who you are, right? Like, it's like attracts like. But it was also a blessing because, like, literally almost every student that I had was based in Berlin, either from South Africa, Canada, and or maybe some parts in Europe or something. It was a quite samey vibe. They all loved food. They all loved travel. They all approximately had a similar level. And the ones that weren't European wanted a German citizenship. So, yes, that definitely came in. And in coaching as well, like, people say, hey, Tanya is doing that. You have back pain. Why don't you give it a shot? And then it's usually a similar kind of client. And I love that. Like, that's the best case scenario.
Yes, that's the best case scenario for any coach.
Yeah, I do a referral program. No time to work on marketing. I do a referral program as well. So I really reward people that recommend me and they get a free session with me.
And what's your kind of future plans for the coaching?
My future plans? That's a very broad question.
Yes, it is.
I think that I want to move towards in-person work once I have a physical home, because again, with you know, artificial intelligence and everything, the one thing that I personally am craving is in-person interaction in nature, hugging trees, like potentially doing a retreat in Italy. I'm going to Italy next month, and I'm going to be talking to my friends because they have all the contacts to all the culinary side of things, and I would do the wellness side of things. So that's something that could be coming. I want to bring something in that is more entrepreneurial focused. And yeah, I think that's where I'm going to be going, probably towards motivational speaking a little bit as well. I have my first speaking gig in Germany, actually near my village. So interesting. In my own language, which I never do. It's all in English. So that's exciting. So yeah, more towards that thing. And I do want to bring my women circles back. I always have tons of ideas. It's more a matter of what I'm most excited about and what people want out there from me as well, right? Like having that balance.
Yeah.
But that's where I agree. See myself going.
Got it. And what would you say is kind of your suggestion to people who want to work on stuff that you are addressing?
Again, I didn't...
What's your suggestion to people, to those people who want to work about what you're discussing or, you know, what you're targeting on their own?
What they need to know, or?
Yes. What do you think they need to know about?
Okay. I think they need to know about my medicine, that it's highly personalized, that there's no cookie cutter in here. It can be done, like the course materials for my program is all in English. The sessions can be done in English or in German. That's really important to some people, because if they can express themselves in their own language, that makes things easier. I'm working on the Spanish part. And also that it brings together what many people out there aren't bringing together. So scientifically proven brain techniques, the somatic healing part where it's all body based, and then also empowering yourself to heal yourself. So there's no 10 years codependency. Like some people go to talk therapy for 10 years and they still have the same issue. We are not doing that shit in my world. You see shifts, and it's going to be within at like 4 months for sure. I have never taught or coached anybody that didn't see shifts. So I think is very different.
And if people want to find you, where can they find you, when, you know, like where they can get in touch with you?
They can find me on Instagram at Making It Possible, or on Facebook at Tanya Degitz. And I think there's also going to be links in the show notes. So yes. There as well.
Got it. So let me ask you a sidebar question. How many people have offered you a good amount of money for your Instagram music?
For Instagram music?
Instagram username. The making it possible.
Oh, nobody. Nobody. I actually wanted to change it to my real name, like Tanya Degitz.
You better not. You got a good one there.
Oh, really? I've been really toying with the idea of changing it to like my name. Interesting. Yeah. I'll leave it there.
We'll discuss it offline. Not a problem.
Yes, we discuss it offline. Nobody told me that before, so that's interesting.
So yeah, to everybody listening, thank you so much for tuning in today. And I hope you got some both personal and business mindset kind of advices, or just different perspective on the issues that even you might be going through. And yeah, until next episode, Tanya, thank you so much for being here once again, taking your time and talking to us. And to our listeners, guys, this is the end of the episode. Thank you so much for being here. And yeah, stay tuned until next episode. Bye-bye.